So let's go and get right into it, family. According to Biden and a lot of states have been getting ready to stop the mandates. Basically wearing masks inside. We've been having to deal with that for over 2 years now. Although, you know, some states and some cities have been kind of off and on with these regulations. Really, it's been appearing to me that most people haven't known what the fuck to do. Let's just be completely honest here. People have either been moving according to orders or acting according to fear. And there hasn't really been much room for any in between, as we can see, just by how even different opinions or different research, different studies on this pandemic have been more or less shut down or even censored, just completely removed. We like to have no discussion of it. So why is this even significant? Family, we knew this was going to happen. When we were reporting that how deadly this disease was, we could easily see that this wasn't a very deadly disease at all. Or, excuse me, virus. This was definitely wasn't a very, very deadly virus. It has the potential to kill, but a lot of viruses have the potential to kill. And particularly when we speak about it being more harmful to the elderly and children, and more so the elderly, we're talking about people whose immune systems are already compromised. So the mortality rate, or the mortality of this virus, just didn't seem to be very significant from the beginning. And we've been covering this for a very, very long time. Black Grassroots have been covering this for a very, very long time. So what people like Joe Rogan and others are saying is not really anything pushing the needle or really revolutionary. We knew what this was about, family. You can go back. It's time stamped. You can go back and see where I said this was all about the money grab. I told you they were going to release this shit much, much earlier than they anticipated. They were only supposed to be, when this thing hit, they were only supposed to be doing testing on animals in August. They already had something that they wanted people to use. Midway through August, going into, I believe, September. So that's very, very telling, family. And the fact that over the course of these last few years, it's been very, very helter-skelter. It's been, what I mean is, very chaotic as far as, you know, different feelings towards wearing masks. We notice in big cities, there's been a larger mandates on this. And in other cities, it's not as serious. One good example is that all peace officers, people that are attached to the government and law enforcement, have been mandated to take the vaccine. But that does not mean that every single law enforcement department has necessarily fully complied with this. There's still people that are kind of pushing against it. And even in a city, my hometown, Oakland, we're about to lose even more officers, at least close to 20. It was going to be about 30, but close to 20. And there's going to be more I need to say about that in a bit. But it's just very, very unfortunate that people have had to lose their jobs, have their jobs compromised. First of all, because of this pandemic and just the nature of certain things shutting down, certain jobs shutting down, people being unemployed for extended period of time, and then you forcing certain people that don't necessarily want to conform or comply, you pretty much force them by saying, well, you're going to lose your job if you do not take this vaccine. You see, that's very, very, very dubious. It should be very eye-opening, and it should catch a lot of people's attention that this sort of thing was going on, that we went through a pandemic, and it seemed like a lot of our decision-making crippled the people, crippled the citizens more than anything else, crippled the citizens. And what's even more infuriating is that there's this narrative that people don't want to work, that people just want more handouts and et cetera, et cetera. And that can be far further from the truth. Number one, there's a lot of jobs where people are saying, look, you're not going to force me to do anything that I don't want to do. That's just the bottom line. You know, you have a lot of people. You have some people going into to work for themselves, and that's another side effect or effect of this pandemic. And you can't necessarily be upset at that. And another thing is that these jobs aren't paying shit. You can offer as many of these bullshit jobs as you want to, but if you're not paying anything, if you're not offering anybody something that could actually help them take care of their family, their bills, then it's not going to work. And what I feel that happened is that a lot of people lost their jobs and jobs that probably paid a lot better. And then all these jobs opened up grunt work. And they expect these people, just like they expect master degrees and PhDs to take MIC jobs, to become managers at McDonald's and things of that nature. They expected people to say, you know what, I just need some money because that's just how I pay bills. You pay bills with money. So I'm going to go ahead and take this work. And they realize that most of the country have a lot more fortitude than that. And we're not that stupid. And I say that stupid because we do make bad decisions. Collectively as a people, we do tend to support things or go along with things that are not necessarily beneficial to us. But for the most part, most of us aren't any damn fools. And if you were making $30+ at one job, there's no way in hell that you're going to go and start working this $15 an hour. That's bullshit. And you know your value, you know your worth. You see what I'm saying? That's bullshit. It's just very, very interesting to me that this country would allow its people to fail like this. But it kind of elucidates really what this country is all about, which is about being oppressive. I like to remind the family that Russia, another country that we've been talking about, and I'll do another podcast on that when I feel like it, because I, you know, about the Russia and the Ukraine. But if we look at Russia's history, after World War One, they were still in the Dark Ages. So despite having military strength and having all these things, they were very, very set on keeping their people oppressed, and it ultimately led to their downfall. However, this is just typically what European countries tend to do in order to maintain the power amongst the elite. No different than a monarchy. It's just they wanted to have a monarchy that wasn't decided by royal blood, or so to speak, and they still didn't do that right. But anywho, this whole mechanism of control and to keep people at a certain point so that you can't challenge them, it ultimately erodes the ground beneath them because the foundation is very, very brittle and it's just not reliable, right? So these mandates, crippling, but they're going to be lifted very, very soon. So it just begs the question, what was it all for? Why did all these people lose their jobs? Why were people, even into this point right now, are still being forced to and still being made to take this vaccine for something that you won't even have to wear a mask for? And I know that the statistics do not show that the country has reached a consensus on this. And I don't even feel like it's a true consensus when we consider the fact that there are many people acquiesce to this vaccine principally because of their jobs. Principally because of their jobs. That's very, very telling in itself. So we know that we haven't reached a consensus on this. That's what makes this a forced action. So the other thing, the best way I can bring this up, I saw a clip of Shaquille O'Neal. And Shaquille O'Neal is somebody I respect for different reasons. A lot of people give him crap for being a Republican, voting Republican. But I do like his ideology, how he thinks about things. And for me personally, I could care less what party you belong to. Any black member of any political party, whether it be Democrat or Republican, you're the same nigga to me. For lack of a better way to express that, there's not really much of a difference there. Your political affiliations do not change you. So that's just something that I just need to go out and say, just first and foremost, it's just your talking points will be different. That's all. And there's amongst the black community over the last 50, 60 years, there's talking points that are more acceptable than the other. But back into Shaq, I saw a clip of him and he was talking about the vaccines and people were asking him about it. And he's like, hey, look, I understand both sides of it. Look, I understand that this is very, very serious and that people should want to protect themselves from this. But at the same time, he understands that why people don't want to be forced into taking something to do that. And he's talking to them, they're not being forced. He's like, yeah, they're being forced. If you tell people that they're going to take their jobs away, if they don't take this vaccine, you're going to be forced. and he brings up HIV. He brings up all these different diseases that are very, very deadly, viruses that are very, very deadly. And not once have we been made to take any vaccine. Not once. There's a lot of deadly viruses and diseases out there. We have not been forced to take them. Particularly, like, once again, when we bring up the mortality rate and how this really affects you, for something that can only affect you for a few weeks tops, granted that there isn't any other underlying complications within you, this isn't anything that would prompt me even, or should prompt anybody to say, I need to go ahead and get this vaccine. It makes sense. It makes sense why people want to be protected from it. But we bring it up all the time on this platform, family, that taking the vaccine doesn't stop you from not only catching it, doesn't stop you from spreading it, and it doesn't seem that it can necessarily stop the effects. The fact that they say that it can make the effects of COVID less intense, yet we've seen examples like Stephen A. Smith and Roland Martin and many others that have exhibited just as intense symptoms as those that are asymptomatic and those who have not gotten the vaccine. I can even recall, and you can timestamp this as well. I was talking about, they had some reports that said that those that had taken the vaccine first, those people were prone to have stronger reaction. And I twisted it up. They had stronger reactions to the vaccine if they had already caught COVID before. But that's about it. That's about the only thing that you've really seen. You don't see it on both ends. You don't see people who are unvaccinated just dying left and right because of COVID, or dying any more than those who are vaccinated. It's ridiculous. It's truly ridiculous. And the fact that there's many people that would deny that they're being forced, that this is being forced on people, you just have to simply ask the question that Shaquille O'Neal asked. Had people's jobs not been threatened, had people's jobs not been on the line, would people have acquiesced to this vaccine? Hell no. And the fact that they kept trying to push this on the Black community and saying it's the Black community's fault, it's the Black community that's wholly unvaccinated, while there's many, many, many anti-vaxxers. There's a whole community of white anti-vaxxers in Oregon and in Washington. There's a bunch of anti-vaxxers of all over the place, and there's always been a community of anti-vaxxing. So you can only imagine that once there's a vaccine for a disease that doesn't seem to be as deadly as anything else that we've dealt before, doesn't even seem to be as deadly as the common fucking flu, influenza. Like, when we understand, like, by percentage and rate of infection, the flu kills more. The flu kills much more. And if we want to talk about numbers, there's years where flu killed off more people than this COVID. It's ridiculous, family. It's all bullshit and it's bad for you. All right? It really, really is. So that's the thing I really need us to really think about, or to really keep in our minds, is that really think about what they're setting us up for. Like, when they start doing things like forcing, imposing things upon you, making you take this and that, changing the way that the country is run. And let me tell you something, I don't feel like they really need to shut everything down the way that they did. And I've been on record saying that. I felt like they should have just sprayed everything down, just kept us maybe quarantined for a little bit. Those checks could have came in, could have kept us afloat, and then we could have gone back to business as usual. But like I said, this is somebody's a post-apocalyptic dream. And many of the services, like a lot of these contactless paying services, these Uber services, these DoorDash services, services that weren't, like, we have to really consider that how certain businesses, certain companies flourished. And I'm not just talking about the medical companies, although we need to look at that as well. You know, that the companies that they're pushing, Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer are owned by the same person. So you're talking about somebody making, once again, somebody's friend making a lot of money on this. But on the flip side, when we're also talking about people making money, we should also look at all these types of businesses and services, these very, very xenophobic-like services that don't require people to interact with each other. And if we know anything about European society, interaction is something that they definitely don't like a whole lot of. You know, they're very keep to yourself, mind your business, we don't change things sort of people. You know, that whole little hippie phase and stuff like that that they went to. Understand that was LSD inspired. That was acid inspired. Like, they're not regularly like that. I just have to make some of these points because sometimes I don't think we make the connections. But this is definitely changed the scope of how a lot of different things work. Like, my great-grandmother never needed one of these tap pay debit cards, and it seemed like they were getting prepared for, like, for example,
in California, there was a prop that was trying to make, like, cybercrime a felony. Although I have, like, there's multiple issues with that, and I'm glad that it didn't pass, because when you make something a felony, you make it punishable by death, and I don't think people really realize that within the nature of the history of felonies. Misdemeanors, you can't be killed for, but felonies, you can. But it just seems like they were preparing for this wave of crime that had already been there, but was going to become more prevalent. You're starting to see more law enforcement try to get into cybersecurity and trying to understand how to track people on the web. You know, stop watching NCSI and all these fucking shows, because most law enforcement or most departments are not that up to date. They're not that high tech. And there's not a whole bunch of techies that are going crazy about working for law enforcement. Okay, maybe the FBI, maybe CIA's, you know, maybe those folk, you know. Definitely FBI. There's definitely many, many units that that want and will prefer people that have some sort of computer science background. But a typical law enforcement, no. But you're starting to see more of a call for that. Starting to be to get more curious about it. They're starting to deal with social media a lot more. And social media has become one of the principal ways that we've been able to communicate and kind of keep things going. I think that another reason for the pandemic going the way that it's been going, if we look at how things were going politically as far as political movements, you can see that these the quarantines and the mandates and different things like that has also been used to kind of suppress those sort of movements. You know, I remember George Floyd and everything else that was going on with Breonna Taylor. People were coming outside, getting it because they had time to come outside, and they're telling them, you get in your homes, you do not get out there and protest. And people are like, fuck that shit. If we look over these last few years, you could see that this country has really, really trying to grip the land by the reins, grip the people by the reins. You've seen them attack black people nonstop, trying to kill off any sort of sympathy or any kind of empathy people could feel for us by rehashing those old debates or just these old stereotypes about being a rapist and Jezebels and criminals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to kind of overshadow what we're trying to do. Like, every time we talk about one of us being killed, like, just go to any sports network, you'll see more advertisements about LGBT. That was a lot during George Floyd. And then now, following George Floyd, you see a lot of Stop the Asian Hate, and Asians aren't getting killed by police. Asians aren't being lynched. Asians aren't being sabotaged. They've never had whole businesses and cities burned. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, wasn't the last time that that's happened. You have a more recent incident that's happened as early as 1978. Okay, and you can check out Your Atlanta Black Star, or go way, way back in Your World Black News, and you can find an article of the information on that. But family, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. So there's a lot of stuff that we need to pay attention to. We should definitely analyze and see how this country's been run, and we really need to. I'm gonna deal with that in a bit. Let me deal with that in a bit, because this Bakra needs his own section, his own segment, you know. And we gave that other red motherfucker a lot of smoke, a lot of heat, and we ain't gave this motherfucker enough smoke, and he putting crack pipes to the babies. So let me get on this clown. So good old Joe Gluckman, or as he's known, Joe Biden. This dude, if this ain't one of the biggest clowns I've ever seen, and family, like, y'all not getting at him enough. Like, honestly, family, this is some coon shit. Because we bashed Obama way worse than we bashing this motherfucker Joe. And Joe was his goddamn vice president. And a very unpopular person, too, at that time. People at the time Obama got in never would have thought Joe Biden would be president right now. And y'all have given this dude more passes than anything in the world. I get it. That mulatto Obama was what we should have expected a mulatto president to be. But it was a goddamn shame because he used us. He used us. He used his color to his advantage the same way white folk like mulattoes to do it. And to make him seem even more authentic, they got him the blackest sister they could find him. Probably sent him every white hoe on the low-low. You know what I'm saying? But send him the blackest sister they could find to make him seem more legit. Because the white man know if he would have been up there with a white woman, we would not have dealt with him. So he used us. He played us. So I get it. I get it from that angle. Where I don't get it is this motherfucker Joe Biden and his administration has made it easier for us to get crack pipes. Come on now. Now, one thing we have to understand, if you don't understand anything at all, you have to understand the demographics that come with drugs, what comes with drug usage. Okay, there's certain drugs that certain groups seem that prefer more. Okay, it's just what it is. These are the politics of these things. You have to remember that because crack was the problem in the black community, they made it a felony to start dealing with it. They made it more punishable to have crack than it would be to have cocaine. But cocaine's a rich man's drug. So who's more likely to have cocaine in their possession and who's more likely to have crack? Okay. So and crack is not no shit with no needles. So we're not worried about no HIV, even though that was some bullshit within itself, too. Giving people clean motherfucking needles and shit. You mean you can't take that money to make sure people get into a goddamn rehab, but you gonna make sure they got clean needles and shit? All right. But anyway, clean crack pipes? Like, what kind of virus, what kind of malignant virus that will destroy your autoimmune system would you catch by sharing a crack pipe or using a crack pipe? Yet this motherfucker has made it available. His administration, go look it up. This is public information, family. This is public information. You ain't said shit about it. This motherfucker has gone, and I don't have any much love for the members of the NAACP, but this motherfucker has pretty much gone there and disrespected them on every turn. And what the fuck has he done regarding the legal system? What kind of changes has he proposed or even started to make? No, what he started to do is make a bunch of excuses. And if you don't believe me, go tell me what he's been doing, what he said he was going to do. We have not called this Bakra out. He's a Bakra. He's a Bakra. And we have to understand that they're extending an olive branch out to another honorary white group that should have been made white due to their Treaty of Guadalupe. See, we're not talking about this. We're not talking about how those folks have been becoming big members or big populations of law enforcement, and how you're starting to see in some cases these Latinos are more brutal towards the blacks than even the whites are. But if we know anything about the history and what they are in their own country, then it should make perfect sense. You see what I'm saying? When they get to wear that badge, they get to become an official honorary white. And they are all too eager to show their white cousin-law, whatever you want to call it, how down they are, how on code they actually are. So we're not talking about that. There's a lot that we're not talking about, family. There's a lot that we're not addressing. And the reason why it needs to be brought up is because I'm tired of us only wanting to be revolutionary or political because some fucking Democrat told you to do it. When Massa says, okay, niggas, it's time for you to get revolutionary. It's time for y'all to speak out. Okay, Massa. Okay. We's gonna go out there and get to work, Massa. We gonna get out there and work hard for you, Massa. Mm-hmm. It is so ridiculous. Like, you guys have no idea that these were the same people who had you in chains. Like, you have no idea that these Dixiecrats, aka Democrats, were the these were the people that had you in bondage in the first fucking place. You dumb asses. And when we get into history and we start to look at things like, fuck that free nigga over there. I don't want to be like that free nigga. You know what I'm saying? I got a master to take care of me. I got a master to take care of me. That's exactly how you motherfucking Democrat ass coons sound when you worshiping your old white gods. That's exactly what the fuck you sound like. Especially when one of us get to telling you the truth. Especially when one of us get to telling you, you need to go out there and get that shit yourself. Stop fucking with that goddamn bakra and go get it your motherfucking self. You know what I'm saying? When we start telling you that shit, oh no, massa is gonna take good care of me. That's why I couldn't stand that motherfucking, during that whole Africans versus African American shit. Because this whole shit that they was doing, talking about PhDs and all this rehashing white man conversation, I'm just like, damn, y'all really the white man's nigga. Like, y'all really the white man's nigga. Don't you, Abdulti Akata's talk about the white man. The white man has gave us the opportunity to get the jobs, to get a PhD, to work, you know, and you don't want to work. Y'all lazy. That's why I look at y'all like that. You have no idea. That's why I don't like it when you guys come over here. It's nothing personal against you. It's not that I hate your black skin. I actually love it. But it's because you don't know shit about the struggle. And we're still trying to get our people over here fully educated on the struggle so we can really make some move. And y'all just want to fucking proliferate and fuck up the numbers and shit. And then you want to attach yourselves to us and shit, not knowing anything. If you don't know about what slavery was, what it meant, and who were the authors of it, shut the fuck up. Don't say nothing. Because you don't know nothing. So frustrating, family. So frustrating. It's very ridiculous, too. You know, that we go out there and defend these people, that we really cape like these were the people, motherfucker. Even if we look very closely to the politics of the Democrats and just slave owners, they've always wanted to be closely attached to Negroes, okay? And they've always been experts in how to, quote-unquote, deal with the Negroes. Like, it's really no different. It's really no different. If we look at the North, if we look at what Republicans were, they ain't never wanted to work with niggas. First of all, their lifestyles generally don't involve having to deal with niggas. So when you have that sort of like ideology, you know, you're just sort of like, yeah, you can work for us like everybody else, but we don't need to be that damn close to you. Like, you will find that there are a lot of segregationists. If we start to look at Booker T. Washington, for example, you'll start to see that there are a lot of segregationists from the North that would give him money. But you have to understand, like, the demographics, why that was the case. You see what I'm saying? So it's much, 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 much more than what people typically think it is. Is more to the story and is more to the deception. You know. It's never been a big issue for a white slave master to lie or kind of pretend that he has a relationship with a slave. It happened all the time in the story of Josiah Henson. For example, this dude saves his master's life, who was a captain. He's being made all these promises. Hey, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. I'm so grateful. Remember that money that I said that you could pay me so you can be free? Look here. I said I need, you said, well, what did you say? You brought me 45. No. I need 90. You brought me 45. I need 90. That's what I said. I didn't say 45. You only brought me half of it. All right, I'll give you another chance. You come back with the 90. I told you 180. Anywho, it sounds really, really ridiculous, but if we look at the promises that the Democrats have made to us, they've essentially done the same thing. Hey, we're going to make sure that you got black. Remember black banking? You know, black banking Nixon. You know what I'm saying? Remember the shit you got? Then you got Bill Clinton going out there and kissing black babies and stuff like that. I'll even go back to Obama and change. We're going to change things and things are going to be better. I guarantee it. And it ain't shit happened. not one promise that has been made to the Black community has ever been granted. For a while, though, it seemed like what did Tariq Nasheed call it? Or what was it called on the Hidden Colors? Benign neglect. We've been dealing with benign neglect for a very, very long time because they just stopped promises, shit that they wasn't going to give us. But understand that they have, it's always been a history. So after a while of them not promising, like a pimp that got his hoe in check, you know what I'm saying? Where you going? Told you, well, I'm going to go on and give it to you, but what you going to have to do for me? And like the good asshole we is, the bottom bitch that we seem to want to be, excuse how I have to say this, family, but I'm trying to be as candid and as frank as possible so you understand what I mean. Because we sitting over here sucking up the white zaddy because he made us some more promises that they ain't never kept. If you guys can show me the promise they kept, I'll shut the fuck up. I will delete every goddamn thing. Show me the promise that they kept. Why are you sitting over here still expecting them to give you something? It's foolish. It's insane. It's insane. So no, family, fuck that nigga Biden. Fucking ass Bakra. I don't give a fuck about him. Fuck Kamala too. Like, and I told people, I know people that know that. Nigga, I'm from Oakland. I know people who know her. So I told them. Niggas get sensitive too. Niggas damn near wanted to fight over that bitch. I have to keep it. No, I'm going to keep it all the way a Google with it. Motherfuckers wanted to fight over her motherfucking ass. And everybody knew she was a hoe. Everybody knew that she used Willie Brown. They're like, how y'all going to forget? And she had been fucking them for years. I was a little nigga and she was fucking them. Are you kidding me? She been had them tendencies. But y'all be quick to go talk about a girl to go sleep around and go get some cash like with a celebrity or something like that. This wench gonna sit up there and sleep with a Willie Brown. And do he, like, and it's just like Willie Brown should have known better. So I can't really feel too bad for him. But let's recognize the behavior. You ain't even heard shit about her white husband she was running with, supposed to be helping her run for president. All they did was let her run for a while to eliminate the rest of the competition and just wait for her to lose money so Biden can step in. It's chess, baby, not checkers. Huh. So, family, what we gonna do? I'm gonna tell you what we need to do. We need to start checking these white motherfuckers. And actually need to start checking people, period. And stop letting them dictate the narrative. Stop letting they goddamn cronies, they niggas, tell you how you ought to feel or how you should react. Fuck Roland Martin. Motherfuck, what's that other motherfucker? Fuck Don Lemon. Fuck, what's that other motherfucking name? Fuck Stephen A. Fuck all these motherfucking Democrat loving ass motherfuckers. Fuck all they asses. Give a fuck. Republican, Democrat, fuck all they asses. Y'all just want to fucking say fuck Ben Crump and fuck what's his name on the Supreme Court? Clarence Thomas. Y'all want to pick out certain coons that you want to go after. Nah, fuck all that shit. Fuck all they coon asses. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous. You know, picking and choosing. When we stop picking and choosing is when we're going to stop losing. You know what I'm saying? Because we losing trying to pick and choose which oppressor we want to address today. Which coon, which collaborator, which backstabber we going to put on Front Street today. Oh, but I like this backstabber over here. They make good music. Oh, I like this backstabber over here. They talk about Michael Kors shit. I bought me some Michael Kors. If that's all what loyalty means to you, if that's all what liberation means to you, if it doesn't feel that bad getting whipped, I'm going to just tell you to shut the fuck up while we getting our shit done. We don't need you speaking. And it's going to be a time when we're going to start dealing with you as well. Because we're going to have to deal with you collaborators, with you infiltrators of our own color, of our own kind. before we can deal with the rest of these heathens. It's just what it is. We're going to have to deal with you first. Now, I'm not telling you how we're going to have to deal with you, but you're going to decide that. We're not going to decide that. You're going to decide how you're dealt with. You know, I'm just going to treat you accordingly. So hopefully, you know, you're just not so wild with it. And you just fall in line like how you should. You know, just like Haiti, there was a lot of motherfuckers that did not, a lot of Negroes that did not fight with them. But they was told, you better stay the fuck to the side. And there was plenty, a lot of collaborators helping these niggas out. That's how Mockingdog get killed. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck they catch a Jean-Jacques Dessalines like that? You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of treachery. We know how Toussaint Louverture got caught up. But that's how they catch us up, with betrayal. That's how they've been catching us up. That's the history of European domination. They have to trick you, earn your trust, and then betray you to win. I challenge you to find me an episode, them dealing with us particularly, where that is not the case. Let's remember, the FBI came to our black leaders first before they came up with these tactics to try to get rid of them. They came there with that bullshit trust. They send infiltrators. They send motherfuckers to infiltrate and report back to them. So you better understand that's their tactics of war. Now, with that being said, family, if this episode has any value to you whatsoever, like, share it. Let everybody in on this. Matter of fact, fuck that. This shit got value. Share this shit. That's what you got to do. You want to help me out? You ain't got to send me no money. Just share this shit. Let other people know about this platform. It's really good. We need more platforms like this. People are just going to tell you the truth. You know, if you have any ideas or anything you want me to say, anything you want me to cover, or if you just want to, you know, holler. Hit me up on IG. That's TEKHNIQL Technico. You know what I mean? I'm also on Twitter. NISU. That's Niso Technico. You know what I mean? So we just doing it like that. Peace, love, and light. You know, I hope everybody is having a great start today week. I hope everything go good for you. I hope we start getting on these motherfucking Bakras and we start getting on these goddamn coons. You know, that's what we should be doing all 2022. You know what I'm saying? Getting rid of these goddamn coons left and right. But check out.